It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, hosted by Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer, gives you in-depth analytics and interviews on everything baseball in the nation's capital. Now, here's your host, Grant Paulson and Toby Altizer.
This is Bustin' Loose Baseball, episode 108. First things first, please subscribe to the podcast. Please rate the podcast. Please review the podcast. We want to try to grow it. We want to keep our audience booming into the season and have more people listening each and every week than before. So please spread the word. Send a text to a buddy. Let them know we're doing this. If they're into the Nats, whether that's the majors, the minors, any part of the organization, please get them to start listening and rate and review this podcast to help us out a little bit. Alongside Toby Altizer, I'm Grant Paulson. Tobes, what's going on?
Yeah, it's good that we're finally in the full swing of baseball season, it feels like, Grant. The Nationals got their first series win against the Giants. Would have been nice for a sweep, but we'll take a series win. It's just good to be back kind of in the swing of things. Now it's kind of past opening day, and it's just it's the grind of baseball season, and you love it. You absolutely love it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. There's a lot to cover. So why don't we start with the big news for the Nationals of the last few days on the injury front, and it's not good. Josiah Gray to the injured list with what is being called forearm and elbow issues. Those are scary words for a starting pitcher. I don't want to make any bones about this. I mean, sometimes those can be precursor words, and that could be a precursor injury to ultimately needing surgery. And Tommy John, obviously, they have not said that there's any thought that that's going to happen. And in fact, the Nationals, for what it's worth, are saying the opposite. Although, while I love a lot of the things the Nationals do and people with the Nationals, telling the truth on injuries has never been one of their strengths. So I'll wait and see how this goes. But the report, at least on the broadcast from the Masson crew, was that Josiah Gray, according to the staff, is not expected to miss a serious amount of time, that they don't view this as something that will ultimately require any kind of serious recovery or lead to Tommy John, that they think the ligament's just fine and there's just some soreness. So it's an elbow. It's a forearm. Sounds maybe scarier than it is, hopefully. But I'll say this, Toby. I mean, if in fact you fast forward a month, he's back on the mound pitching injury and pain-free, and he's settling back in, throwing better than he had, maybe it's a blessing in disguise, because if you watched his first couple starts, it was bad. He was getting rocked. You know, 8 1/3 innings, ERA over 14, two of his worst starts maybe as a National, frankly, 15 hits and 13 runs in about 8 innings of work. You and I were both kind of nervous and worried about where this was going this season for JoJo, who just didn't look the same. And maybe we're finding out that something was wrong in his arm.
Yeah, I thought he looked sharp early in spring training, and then basically he got the nod that he was going to be the opening day starter, and then he kind of fell off a cliff. So maybe there was some fatigue or something happening in spring training, and it carried over into the regular season. But credit to JoJo, apparently he went to, you know, after his second start, he wasn't feeling as good, and then he went through a bullpen, and he reported that he was feeling some issues in that arm, and everything so far that the team has said was muscular and that the ligament's intact after they did a MRI and everything. So we're hoping that it's just something where he sticks on the IL for the 15 days, comes back, and kind of jumps back into the rotation, and we forget that he ever had an IL stint later on in the year. But I mean, it is concerning, like you said, Grant, especially in this, really this week of baseball, where we've seen Shane Bieber go on the IL. You see all these prolific pitchers having to deal with Spencer Strider dealing with elbow issues. We've seen so many top dudes have to deal with elbow issues, and then you see Josiah Gray pop up with an elbow and forearm thing, and you immediately think the worst, because so many guys have had that problem over the last couple of weeks and last couple of years. So hopefully everything's good, and if he's truly okay, which everything sounds like it is, and he just needs a little bit of rest, maybe it is sort of a reset that he needed, because he has been really, really bad the first two starts, and he was set to make his third start in San Francisco. You would have hoped he could have bounced back. Now he gets a little bit of time maybe to reevaluate things, get some rest on that arm, and maybe go through, and we've talked about maybe trying to figure out a four-pitch mix as opposed to throwing seven pitches. I think it just gives him a chance to kind of reset, almost restart the year again when he comes back from the injured list if he's truly healthy.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, here's why this matters so much, right, is without trying to be disrespectful to a lot of the guys on the team, there are five or six guys, frankly, that matter a whole lot in the long term that are on the Nationals right now, and who, you know, everything that they do, the results really, really matter. For the rest of the guys, tangentially, it's important because you'd prefer the team to win than lose, or, you know, with a guy like Gallo or you know, Jesse Winker, you're trying to add trade value with every one of their at-bats, right? But really, long-term in D.C., the most important players, I would say, are C.J. Abrams, K-Bert Ruiz. I would throw maybe Jake Irvin, Josiah Gray, Mackenzie Gore as a five, maybe Jacob Young and Lane Thomas, if you want to throw them in. Like, there's five to seven guys that really matter in the long term of this thing in terms of age and how long they're going to be here. Gray's one of those guys. Or Lipscomb, I forgot, is another one in the key five for sure as a rookie starting at third. But I just circle back to that. So much of this year is about Gray taking another step, Gore making the leap to front of the rotation starter, Abrams hitting stardom, which seems to be happening, which we'll get to in a minute. And in Gray's case, you just don't want to get to a point where he's missing a couple of months or he's having to be shut down and you're going to miss a season of development. Then he's coming back and he's going to be on a restrictive innings and pitch limit as a 27-year-old. It would just be really damaging, and it would be a shame for the build here. So fingers are crossed for Josiah Gray. But as I said, if we find out he comes back, he's healthy, he pitches a lot better, that it wasn't just that he was stinking, but that he was struggling because he wasn't healthy, I think that's actually probably a great thing for him and a great thing for everybody else. Now, again, it was only two starts. It's not like it was a 14-start sample or something at the beginning of the year, which probably isn't worth worrying about. But the results, and frankly, just the you got your eyeballs. You guys are watching these games. It didn't look a whole lot like last year did, certainly not the early part of the season for Josiah Gray.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it is something where – I mean, you don't want your pitchers to ever have physical problems, but maybe that could explain some of the struggles. And like I said, he can kind of just go back and reset, and hopefully he feels healthy. I mean, credit to Josiah Gray for at least being upfront and honest, because like you said, you don't want this guy to end up missing months and years of time because of a severe injury that maybe leads to Tommy John or something else. You'd rather this guy go ahead and get out ahead of it and, you know, take 15 days off. It sucks to not have him in the rotation, especially early in the year. But at the same point, I'll take him taking a 15-day leave of absence to make sure that he's fully okay, as opposed to him trying to gut it out and try to prove that he's a tough guy when he doesn't really need to and end up doing some long-term damage. So hopefully this is something that, you know, it's just that 15-day IL stint. He resets, gets back on track, and figures it out and looks like the JoJo that we saw in the first half of last year.
All right, let's talk C.J. Abrams. I just referenced that he is really coming to his own, looks like a superstar early this season. So Abrams was 10 for 26 going into play today, went 0 for 4 in the series finale in San Francisco. So now 10 for his last 30, hitting .333 over those seven games. Of course, there was a three-game sample in there where he didn't play, where he was hurt, he jammed his pinky, but he came back and in his first game back had a big two-run home run to give the Nats the lead. Had another run-scoring hit where he got jammed and kind of went the other way in a two-for-four performance. We have not seen him steal a base, interestingly enough, since that three-steal game. But he's sitting at three stolen bases to go along with now three home runs. I tweeted this. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. You can follow both of us, and you should follow both of us on X for Nats content. Toby is at Toby_Altizer with an I instead of a Y. Toby and then Altizer's Altizer. But Abrams, third home run of the season. How long did it take him to hit three home runs so far in his career? Well, if you go back to his rookie year in 2022, he played in 90 games and he didn't hit three. He just had two for 90 games worth of baseball. Last year, it took him 39 games to hit his third home run. This year, he did it in his eighth game. The power is immense. I mean, he looks like he could hit over 20 home runs pretty easily. I mean, if you care about paces, it's probably way too early. He's on like a 40 homer pace. But I mean, to me, he looks like a guy who could hit 25 home runs. We know he can steal over 50 bags. He almost did that in a half a season last year, just about. This is what the dream was for Mike Rizzo and his staff, Toby, when they acquired Abrams as one of the centerpieces in the Soto deal. I think this is all happening at a really good clip, too. I mean, he's still only 23, and he's starting to flourish. I'm starting to get really excited and bullish about the possibilities here with Abrams, who's also been sterling defensively early this season.
I think it just shows how comfortable he is now that he's a big leaguer. I think that you're seeing the C.J. Abrams that everybody expected to see, you know, back out in San Diego when he was a prospect. You're finally seeing that guy. He was kind of rushed through the minor league system, came up with San Diego. Things didn't necessarily work out right. He ends up here in Washington, and he's got to adjust. And through the first half of last year, he was still, I think, trying to establish himself and figure out his role. And he just didn't look all the way comfortable. And then you saw, once he got moved up to that leadoff spot, you saw C.J. Abrams. And what do I mean by you saw C.J. Abrams? He's swiping bags, he's hitting home runs and staring into the dugout and looks like the coolest dude on the baseball field. And we're seeing that again this year. I think he got comfortable in the second half last year, and I think you're starting to see that kind of just carry over. He's comfortable at the big league level now, and so I think that's when you start to see that superstardom shine. I mean, he's making great plays defensively. He's hitting long home runs. I mean, you look at the home run he hit on, what was that, Tuesday night in San Francisco, the ball doesn't fly in that yard too great generally, and he hits it to one of the deepest parts of the yard, no doubter. I mean, not many dudes can go out that far, and I've talked about it before. If you had the chance, which unfortunately Nationals fans don't get to because of the gate opening times, but if you had a chance to see C.J. Abrams take batting practice, you would think the dude weighs 40 more pounds and looks much bigger than he is. But he's just a lanky, tall shortstop that has a lot of power, and I think he saw that in San Francisco with that home run. And so the fact that he's already got three is really encouraging, but I think there's a lot more to come because he's not, I don't think with him, like, he's trying to hit home runs. I think he runs into them because he's got that much raw power, and we haven't seen him really explode on the base paths yet. And I mean, we're going to talk about it a little bit more here in just a second, but he was going to be the catalyst. Everybody's stealing bags on this team, and you're getting Jacob Young stealing three, Lane Thomas is stealing three, people are taking off all over the place. And CJ's had one game, but he hasn't had a lot of games where he's done that. So I think it's really cool to see him kind of emerge. I think because of the fact that he's just that much more comfortable, you know, when we were down in spring training, all the guys down there, whether it was Davey, whether it was Mike Rizzo, whether it was just people around the team, were saying CJ's really increased his leadership this year. And it's maybe not something we'll ever notice, but that's something that just speaks to that comfort. Comfortability factor. And when you start getting comfortable and you start doing the things that he's doing and you see the swag that he plays with, I think it just shows that he's on the way up and the sky's the limit for this guy. I mean, before the season, I said 2060 in terms of 20 homers, 60 stolen bases. The 20 homers looks easily attainable at this point. We'll see with the stolen bags, but I'm just so excited to see what this guy can become.
Yeah, it's funny because you're a three steal game away, right? From being now on a crazy pace this early in the season. That's how it works. And he's got just one game where he's stolen a base. He actually got thrown out, oddly enough, as we do this podcast on Wednesday night yesterday in the game where he homered in the two run scoring hits. And it was a bang bang play at the bag, but it was really a perfect throw. So not a whole lot you could say about that. The Nationals stole two more bases in their matinee today against the Giants. Again, we're taping after they just dropped the series finale 7-1. It was probably one of their most lackluster offensive games of the year. Just one run on four hits. But Drew Millis stole his first base. Minor league catcher, they called up as the third catcher, got a start, and then went right back down. Millis had a hit and a steal, so acquitted himself pretty well. And Jesse Winker stole his first base as well. I bring up the stolen bases because the Nationals are leading the major leagues right now with 25 swipes. They've also only been caught two times. So the number two team in baseball, the Reds, are 23 of 27. The Nats are 25 of 27. The Brewers are 19 of 21. They're the only team with over 15 steals that's been caught two or fewer times other than Washington. But there's only three teams in the sport with over 15 swipes, and the Nats have 25. And so them and the Reds are kind of running away right now, literally, figuratively, with the stolen base lead. And this has just never really been this ball club's MO. When Davey said in the spring, with me and Danny interviewing him at West Palm, you know, we're going to run a ton. I think people are going to be excited by our brand of baseball. I just dismissed that as words. Like, that's the kind of stuff managers say every year. Okay, sure, I've heard this before, Davey. I mean, they meant it. Like, when they get on, they are aggressive. They are not waiting. They are not wasting any time. I love the new rules in baseball. It's gotten really hard to throw guys out. Nats fans know that maybe better than anybody because K-Bert Ruiz almost never does. But to go 25 of 27, and maybe the craziest part, which you alluded to earlier, they've had four different guys already with three steals this season. In a game, I'm saying. I didn't look this up, but I guarantee you that's a record for the fastest that's ever happened, largely because this era makes it possible. And prior to the rule changes a couple years ago, that just wasn't a thing. You could go, you know, 3 months as a team and maybe not steal 12 bags if you didn't run a lot. But so the guys that have done it, the roll call here, C.J. Abrams, Lane Thomas, Trey Lipscomb, and Jacob Young. Four different players have had three steal games. So I just love this, man. It's a blast to watch. I think this is really making this team a lot more interesting for me, to be completely honest.
Well, and I think this is smart because this is taking advantage of the rule changes that you saw last year that saw the uptick of stolen bases. It's taking advantage of that. I mean, this is a team that was going to lack power. They've hit, it seems like, a little bit more home runs than you've expected early on in the season, but it's not like they're in the top five in the league in home runs. So they were never going to be that team, and they're not going to be. That's not how they're constructed. But how they are constructed, even when Victor Robles is in the lineup over Jacob Young, he's kind of the same sort of player. You got Jacob Young who can steal bags. If Victor Robles is in there, Victor Robles can steal bags. Trey Lipscomb's a heady base runner. Obviously, we talked about C.J. Abrams. Lane Thomas has actually, I think, tracked faster than C.J. Abrams at times. So his ability to steal bags. Like, this team is going to be able to create havoc on the base path. So they're playing to their strengths and playing to the new rules. And I think it's just smart that they're doing that because you have to find a way to generate runs. And it wasn't going to be the long ball for this team. So find ways to turn a walk into a double, turn a routine bloop single into a double by stealing a bag, just creating havoc constantly. And it's something where I'm sure it's going to level out later on in the year, but I can already think of three instances this year, I think twice in one game, where the Nationals were picked off. It happened twice against the Phillies already this year where they were picked off first base and they were able to get to second base. The Nationals had it happen against them with Patrick Corbin on the mound. Like, just things like that where they're just being ultra aggressive. And then you had one where I think Luis Garcia was picked off and Trey Lipscomb was at third. And because the throw just didn't work out perfectly on the way home, then you ended up with this run scoring because they're aggressive on the base pass. That was one of the three steals for Trey Lipscomb. They have to find ways to make runs happen because, let's be honest, as much as we like some of the guys in the lineup, it's not like they have a juggernaut lineup like you're seeing with the O's or like you're seeing with the Dodgers. Like, they just don't have that. But what they do have is they have a lot of speed and a lot of young guys that can make it exciting. And like you said, I think it makes for a fun brand of baseball. And so this team is going to be fun to watch all year because, you know, this is just the start of the year. Can you imagine what it's going to be when they get some of these other guys into the fold that maybe even have more speed than a Jesse Winker or an Eddie Rosario and you bring up a James Wood or something like that? I think there's a lot of excitement, and I think it's very smart for this team to be playing that way.
Lane Thomas, 6-for-6. Trey Lipscomb, 4-for-4. Jacob Young, 4-for-4. I mentioned Abrams got thrown out yesterday, but 3-for-4 overall. Robles, before he got hurt, was 2-for-2 in a couple of games. And then they've got several guys. A lot of these guys with the one steal that aren't runners typically have been on the back end of double steals. But Gallo, Garcia, Millis, Nassim Nunez, who can fly, by the way, he actually was one of the two guys to get thrown out, oddly enough. He's a 70-plus runner. Ildemar Vargas, Jesse Winker, all with a stolen base. So kudos to Davey. He's got the boys flying and running on the base paths. And you said something I think that's really smart I want to go back to, Toby, about, like, what are you? What's your identity? You're not going to mash. You know, you're not going to hit a ton of home runs. Gallo has a chance, maybe. We can get into his power in a second, to be a guy that hits a ton of home runs. But really, there aren't other players on this team who will. You know, maybe Lane Thomas hits 25. He hit his first just a couple of nights ago. Maybe CJ hits 25. I would be still thrilled with 20 to 23, something like that, after his quick start. He's pacing a little ahead of that at this point. But you know what they actually remind me of? I was thinking about this. Is last year, at the beginning of the season, the Diamondbacks were just running like crazy. And nobody was able to throw them out. And they would get on and they'd steal bases. They weren't a very good offense. They didn't have stars. It wasn't like there was a bunch of power. but they were hitting, they were scoring. And I kind of get those vibes where it was clear to me. I remember actually talking last year to Torre Lovello, the manager, about that and about like the philosophy. And he's like, yeah, we know we're short on these things, and this is how we're going to try to game the system. We saw the rules. We built our roster around the new rules. And I don't necessarily know that the Nats went all in on that, but I think they probably wised up this offseason and said, okay, where can we cut some corners a little bit? And I think this is an area. If you were the Dodgers, who have a big league high 20 home runs right now, they only have six steals. You don't have to run. If you're the Astros, who have 18 bombs, or the Diamondbacks now this year have 15 home runs and just eight steals, like you adjust accordingly. But right now, the Nationals, they know what they are and what they're not, and they're not just going to outslug you. So let's build some offense and create and manufacture some scoring.
Well, and I think it's more than even just stealing bags. I think it's being aggressive and trying to take that extra base. We saw it in the first hit of the year, in the first game of the year, where Jesse Winker had a routine single to right field, and he tried to make it into a double. He gets thrown out at second. They ask Davey about it after the game. He said, oh, I have no problem. We're trying to make action on the base pass. We're trying to go get that extra 90 feet. And so I think you're going to see some dudes get thrown out on the base pass. You're going to see it happen. But in turn, you're also going to see dudes make outfielders have to make throws. You're going to see guys have to make plays. And if they make a perfect play, they'll get the guy out. Like you mentioned with CJ Abrams, like you'll take that steal any day. Perfect throw, nails him. Fine. You'll live with it. But the Nationals have to be aggressive on the base paths, trying to get that extra 90 feet, also trying to steal bags. Like, I think the Nationals are going to play super aggressively on the base paths. It'll lead to some frustrating outs, I'm sure, and it's going to lead to some headaches at times. But I think it's also going to lead to an exciting brand of baseball where sometimes it's just going to look like utter chaos on the base paths. But if it's that way for the defense, I think that's in favor of the Nationals with a team that just wants to take off and run all game long.